Genesis chapter 2.
Genesis chapter 2. God made a woman. Continuing our study and our survey through the book of, through Genesis, through creation. Brother Dale, I really, really like that at Calvary. It's interesting, you know, they take old songs and put new music to those old songs sometimes. And what it does to me, it makes me listen to the words, to the songs that I've sung since I was a baby. But you know, somewhere along the way, we forget to listen to the message. And so I appreciate that song at Calvary so much because it reminds me of the message sent out from Calvary by our Savior. Genesis chapter 2. Let's stand as we look to the Word of God. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of a man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead us in this prayer? Amen. You may be seated. Do you realize that God really does care? Okay, three of you do. So for the rest of you, this may be big news. All right? But God really does care. He really does want you to have a joy-filled life. Now, notice I said joy-filled. I didn't say God wants to make you happy all the time. You see, there's a difference between joy and happiness, and I've shared this with you before. Happiness depends on what's happening. Joy is something that's given by God. This morning, when I went out to the car, I was not happy. I was cold. But all the way to the car, I still had a joy given by God. Okay? I still have a peace. I still have a Father, thank you for this good life that you've given me. And that's what I'm talking about. And that's what we find in the text today. As God gives Adam a new source of joy. And the first thing we see in the life of Adam is an unknown situation and the need that Adam had as it's disclosed to us. And in verse 18, I want you to notice, the Lord said, "It is not," what? "Good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." I like that. As God looks at His creation, He said, the one thing that was not good, it was the fact that man was alone. God said, "This is not good. I'm going to make for him a helper." And then in verse 19, it really gets interesting. It says, "Out of the ground, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Do you see anything kind of weird about these two verses back to back? Verse 18, the Lord says, it's not good that man be alone. I'll create for him a helper. Verse 19, he marches the animals before Adam and says, okay, Adam, name them. Do you see how initially you think, God, this is kind of off the wall. It kind of initially seems like he's focusing on, okay, Adam has a need. And then all of a sudden he goes over here, okay, let's name all the animals. It just kind of makes a 90 degree. And for me, that bothered me. Because I need it to make sense every step of the way. And I have found that most of the times when I think it doesn't make sense, it's me that's wrong. Right? It's me that doesn't get it. I say most of the time, all the time. The Word of God is infallible. Right? It is our all-sufficient rule of faith and practice. But I did, as I thought, now God, why did you just apparently shift gears there? Well, in verse 18, he's disclosing a need to the reader, letting all of us realize that Adam had a problem. But the one who did not realize that Adam had a problem was who? Adam, right? He was such a man. You know what I mean, right? He was clueless at this point. And so God, in verse 18, he tells us the need. And then in verse 19, he begins to enlighten Adam and put Adam in a position to discover the need that he had in his life. You see, in verse 19, it says, and there was not... Adam gave name to the birds of the air, or to the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper for him. And what's interesting about this, God, as I said, didn't shift gears. In verse 18, he tells us Adam's got a need. In verse 19, he begins to show Adam has a need. And in verse 20, Adam begins to realize, I have a need. And we know that as it says, but for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And we don't really get this in the Hebrew, in the translation from Hebrew to English. But literally it says, but for Adam, he did not find a helpmate comparable to him. Isn't that cool the way God did that? Adam didn't find. And you know, I can only imagine the process that God took Adam through here as he brought the animals before Adam and Adam begins to name them. He brings the horses before Adam, and male and female, Adam names them horses, you know, and cows, male and female, Adam gives them the name. Dogs, cats, lions, males and females. And somewhere along the way, it's like the light came on. Lord, what about me? Everything else has a helper, a female. God, I'm missing something here. God says, you're absolutely right. I'm glad you finally caught up with that. But the one thing, you know, the thing that's really encouraging to me is how that God knew the need before Adam even had a clue. Isn't that really great? How God is already there. You know, sometimes we wake up and we realize these needs and we act as though, God, you don't get it. No, most of the time it's us that does not get it. God knew about the need yesterday, the day before, even before we realize that we have a need. And as I look at people here today, I wonder how many people are worried about a lot of things that are going on. Did you know what? Some people are worried about having someone. And, you know, and this concerned me as I was preparing for this message. I thought, well, Lord, what about those people who are not married, who haven't gotten there yet, who are searching for that someone, hadn't gotten there? But did you know what? God has already got that worked out for you. I've had people talk to me before and say, Brother Doug, I don't understand why I can't find someone. Listen, God's got it. God knows it, and he knows when you need that right person. God knows it. He even knows it when we're too dumb to know it. Now, I look back and I wish I could tell you today that as I was growing up, as Beth and I was dating, that I was a godly young man who was looking for a Christian, Bible-believing woman who would build her lives upon the principles and the foundations of God's Word, but that would be a lie. Okay? I didn't have a clue. I just wanted a pretty girl. Right? Like any teenage guy at that time. But you know what? In looking back today, I see how God saw what I would need. And the person that He put in my life to fill that need would be the lady that would go through the ups and downs, the storms, the trials, the tribulations of raising children and fighting the battles of life. And the lady that no matter what happens would never use the word divorce. You know? The lady that could be a preacher's wife. The lady who said, "I'll never marry a preacher." God showed her. I didn't surrender to the priest till after we were married. No. But it amazes me. And what I want you to grasp, men and our ladies today, is how far ahead of you God is and has been by giving you the person that you needed and would need in your life. Isn't that cool how God works? He even did it for Adam, and He's been doing it ever since. Even when we didn't and do not have a clue. Then God points this need out. And He comes up and we find an uncommon solution. And I want us to look at the plan. God reveals to Adam. Adam realizes the need and he said, "Okay, here's the plan. I will make a helper." Verse 21 and 22. And that word helper, it means literally one who helps. I would say one who makes you better. Adam's going to, at the end of this, Adam's going to be a better man. Okay? And verse 21 and 22, I'm going to go back and read that again. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man." Here's the plan. God says, this is how it's going to go. I'm going to make you someone that's going to make you better. So God took a rib and from it he made a woman. I really like the way that is written in the Hebrew. It is different If you'll notice, and you can go back and read this later, it says that God fashioned a man from the dust of the ground. But he didn't fashion a woman. He built a woman. That's what that word "made" means. It means to build. I mean, look around. You can tell, right? He just did better building women than he did men. Right? But he used a part of Adam to do it. Okay? He didn't form Eve from the dust of the ground. He took a rib from Adam. A reminder of the oneness that should be present in a marriage. Okay? Here's the plan. I'm not just going to make you some. I'm going to make you someone, Adam, that is a part of you. That if you're without that person, you're going to be missing a part of you. See, that's how marriage is supposed to work. Yeah. Did you know? And listen, everybody, listen to me, please. Marriage is not a war. Okay? If you waste your time fighting in marriage, you're wasting your time and wasting the blessings of God. Now listen, that doesn't mean that there won't be any little bumps and scrapes along the way. That won't mean that she'll always be happy with you and you'll always be happy with her. You say, Brother Doug, you know, sometimes I just can't help it. We fuss. Well, get in line. We all do, right? It's all right. But I want you to realize marriage is not meant to be a battle. It's meant to be a completion of this life. A oneness, a need for one another. Men, I want you to realize today how much you need your wives. You need her. You need her. And that was the plan from the beginning. Women, I'll also tell you, you need him too. Okay? You do. That oneness, that need, that when the other one's gone, there's a part of you missing. That's the plan. And it's for the purpose. And here's the purpose we find in the word comparable. I'm going to make a helper comparable. You know what that word literally means? It means opposite. Really, I'm not kidding. God said, I'm going to make you a helper opposite of you. You ever wonder why you and your wife are so different? It's God's fault. He did it. He did it on purpose. And He did it to make you better. All right? Meaning, He gave you a lady that could do things you could not do. Guys, everyone, I've said this before and I'll say it again, looking around in this congregation, I think probably everybody in here married up. I'm sure you did. Because she's better at a lot of things than you are. I might even go to say, venture to say, she's just better, period, than you are, right? That's why it works so well. See, Adam, God built Adam a helpmate to make him better. And to make him better, she had to be better. Praise God for the difference, right? Praise God for the difference. They're prettier. Listen, guys, you're going to have to jump on here way better than this. They are prettier. Amen. There you go. Because she's sitting right beside you. Now, I'm setting you up for a fall, I'm telling you. If you don't jump in at amen this message, you're going to be in trouble when you get home. They are prettier. Because God built them. They're more compassionate. They're more loving. They're more caring. I've noticed, and you know, I talk about my grandbabies, and y'all just have to put up with that. But I've noticed that my grandbabies, they love on Beth better than they love on me. They do. I mean, I can hold our newest one. Was born over Thanksgiving. I can hold her, Gracie. And when she decides she's tired of me, she's tired of me. It's over. But I can hand her to Beth. We're good. Just the crying stops. You know, same way with Lala. It's because Beth is better than I am. She's more loving. She's more compassionate. She knows how to handle them. Not only that, but scientifically speaking, they're smarter than we are. Women. I mean, let's face it. You look in school and most of the time the girls in school make better grades than the boys. Have you noticed that? They do. Scientific fact. Women have an increased blood flow to 112 of the 128 regions of the brain. Meaning, more brain activity. It's true. You never hear a woman say, hey, watch this. You never do. Why? Why? They're smarter than we are. They are. They have a stronger immune system than we do. Guys, have you ever noticed your children can be sick and the mother can hug and squeeze and just wallow those kids and just be all in that sickness and they never get sick? And if you look at your sick kids, men, you get deathly ill. They do scientifically have a stronger immune system. They have a better memory. Scientifically, and these are scientific facts. They have a better... That's why they can tell you what you did to them in 1992. And you do not even remember 1992. Okay? Here's what I want you to get. And we laugh and we smile. But man, God did good. I want you to see the grace. As God looked at Adam and said, Adam, you're missing something. Then He showed Adam what he's missing. And then He made Adam a helper that would make him better and make his life better. And you see, we talked about all these differences. And you got to back up and realize, man, these differences work well. Yes, she may be smarter than I am, but I need someone smarter than me. She may be stronger than me, a stronger immune system, but I need someone stronger. You know, those places where you're lacking, how it works out, that's the part that she fills. That's why you need her so much. That's why Eve made Adam's life worth living. And it still works today. Okay? God didn't, He didn't just create one program. He created one program that would last through the ages. And it still works. As a matter of fact, God's program was an undeniable success. I can only imagine that. Can you imagine the presentation? He caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And He took a rib and built the woman, and Adam comes and he wakes up, and at first glance is like, wow. See, up to this point it had been God that said it was good. I'm sure, and it's not recorded in Genesis chapter 2, but I'm pretty sure it was Adam at this point says, wow, God, you did good. Okay? Because he sees, and he immediately, he stands in awe of the creation. And we know, by the way, Adam responded. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. Therefore shall a man leave his mother, or his father and his mother, and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You feel the heart here. You see, Adam got it. Adam saw immediately that she was his completion, and without her, bone of my bone, you know, without her, I'm missing a bone. I'm missing a very important part of me. Adam saw immediately he wanted to be joined to his wife. And that word joined literally means to glued. Means he did not ever want anything to come in between he and his wife, no matter what. And do you realize they face trouble? Did you know they face trouble just like you and I face trouble? They had kid trouble. I mean, how much tougher can it get? Their two children would have murdered the other. But Adam and Eve stayed together, didn't they? I mean, why? Because they were glued. See, Adam got it from the very beginning. And beloved, I think that's something we need to back up and take a lesson on today, because it's so easy for people to just say, oh, I'm not happy. I don't want in this marriage anymore. Oh, listen, you need to back up and look at what God has given you. You may be, just because you're not happy today does not mean tomorrow is ruined. As a matter of fact, you've got to weather the storms a little bit. And I know you've heard this before, but I'll tell you again. Love is something that grows. All right? I love Beth. I liked Beth when we got married. But now after 33 years, I'm learning to love her. You know? Because the storms, you fight the battles together, you raise kids together, you go through the disagreements together, and no matter what, you realize, hey, I'm joined to this lady and I need this lady and I'm not willing to give it up for anyone. God's way works, and that's what I want you to get from this man. From the very beginning, he had a plan, and it was a good plan. And it still works, and it works great until we try to mess it up with perversion, turning it around, doing it our way. One thing I want to point out to you, God did not make Adam and Steve. I say that out of love and caring, but it's a man and it's a woman. All right? And when we try to twist it up and break it, it doesn't work. And I know, listen. I'm not saying in meanness nor in hatred. But God's way is right. And it's always right. Okay? You say, you know, and I know there are the homosexuals that would say, but I have these desires that I was born with. No, listen. Everybody fights the battle of sin. Your desire may be different from mine, but we're all fighting the desire of sin. All right? The question is, will you give in to that sin and ungodly lifestyle or not? For example, while the homosexuals may lust after the same sex, those who are not homosexuals have to deal with lust from the opposite sex. You see, it comes down to the question of not do I have a problem with sin, but am I going to give in to the sin? Okay? And as you ponder that question, you remember God's right. He did it right. He created it right. He set it in motion because it works. God did not make Adam and Steve. God did not make Adam, Eve, Stacy, Charlotte, Jennifer, Sally, Sue, and on and on. What am I talking about? I'm talking about multiple wives and multiple girlfriends. All right? No, sir. No. Say amen. No. It's not okay to be unfaithful to your wife. It's not. Well, Brother Doug, I'm just human. Well, aren't we all human? You just need to stand up and be a man. Do not excuse infidelity. It's not okay. I want to tell you something. When you break that trust, you've broken something that will take years to rebuild. Okay? I'm not saying it can't be rebuilt, but I am saying a simple I'm sorry won't cut it. Okay? That woman who flirts with you at work, be a man, tell her to get away from you. Leave you alone. You don't do that. Why? Because you're a child of the King. We know better. That was not the way that God created us. God did not say for us to be like the animals. To shack up. Different person every Friday. No. Listen. You look at those immoral people who are promiscuous and just in and out of bed on every occasion. If they were honest with you, they'd tell you they're lonely. They're lonely. And that lifestyle's not working. That's why they continually drink drugs, you know, because they're missing something. Again, I want you to get God's way works. And the way He made it was one man, one life, one woman for one lifetime. That you go through this lifetime together. I want you to get today. You cannot improve upon what God has set in motion. Okay? When God made us, He knew exactly what he was doing. Guys, the challenge to the whole message today, and I know I've preached this more so from a man's perspective, but there's a reason for that. That's what I am, right? We need to be very appreciative of the blessing that God has put in our lives. The blessing of our wives. Okay? We need to thank God for that blessing. And we need to be appreciative toward them and let them know how important and vital they are to our lives. And we realize that you are a blessing from God. Okay? Don't be hesitant to appreciate your wife. All right? Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're going to shift gears just for a moment. You know something else that God did? Another plan that He had? God had a plan. It's called salvation from the very beginning. Salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, which the Bible says that He was crucified from the foundation of the world. That meant God had the plan before God said, "Let there be light" in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. God had a plan for the salvation of man. When God formed man out of the dust of the earth, God had a plan for salvation because He knew that man would mess it up in sin. When God created woman, from the rib, built the woman, He had a plan for the salvation. He had a plan for you before you were even born. An avenue so you could be saved. My question is, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's what Jesus was about. Go to the cross. To live a perfect, sinless life. To go to the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for your sin because you are a sinner and someone had to pay for your sin. Okay? Jesus said, "I love you so much, I'll do that." Jesus also said, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Are you saved? Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? If not, this is for you. Maybe you're here today and you've not, the Lord is leading you to become a member of this church. I'd invite you to come. Maybe you're here today and, boy, things are tough at home and relationship is really strained and maybe you just need to spend time at the altar. Maybe there's another need completely different than anything that I've addressed today. I do want to share with you, if you've got needs, the place to go is God. Take those needs to the feet of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day, and we thank You just for Your Word and for the reminder, Lord, of the great blessing that You have given to men through our women. And Lord, we often take them for granted, and as such, we're taking You for granted. So, Lord, we're sorry. And we want to, first of all, give You the glory and also let them know that we appreciate them as God's gift to us. And Lord, we pray now as we come to this invitation, I pray Your will be done. I pray that You'll move freely among us and give us the heart to respond to You. In Jesus' name I pray.